Entertainment production of the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit corporation.
Find lots of information about us at childrenshour.org.
Dr. Crawford McCallum and Enid Howarth helped us write our show today, and we had production help from Sean Loveless from WRIR in Richmond, Virginia.
Our podcast can be found wherever you get your podcasts or at patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music is written by C.K. Bylow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by the Children's Hour Incorporated and the Public Radio Exchange, PRX, and the Pacifica Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
Good morning, folks. This is Amy, and I'm sneaking on the radio a little bit early today just to remind folks that rabbit, rabbit, that's what you're supposed to say on the first day of the month. The first thing you say in the morning when you wake up on the first day of the month is rabbit, rabbit. And this first day of October happens to be a super special day because here at WGDR, WGDH, Central Vermont Community Radio, we are having our fund drive. It's a fun drive, but it is also a fund drive with a D at the end of the fun. And that D is for dollars. And so we are raising some money so that we can keep our radio station on the air. Please, if you are listening out there and you have a little bit of dollars to spare, consider sending them over here to the radio station so that we can keep all of this wonderful programming going. And I'm online right now looking at the website, WGDR.org, and there you can find a donate button. It says donate to the drive, and it tells you all about how you can send in your dollars so we can keep having fun here at WGDR, because we do need some funds in order to have our fun. So thank you, everybody who out there is supporting us all the time, every day. You're the greatest. Be back in a second for Amy's Kids Show.
This is Alice Girl
and Anna Odell,
and you are listening to WGDR Plainfield, WGDH Hardwick.
Community support for Amy's Kids Show is provided in part by Woodbury Mountain Toys, featuring a selection of toys and games for kids of all ages. Located at 24 State Street in Montpelier, Vermont. More information at woodburymountaintoys.com. Come in and play with us.
We bring you the following show with the intention of providing a wide range of voices about the issues of the day. We encourage listeners to critically examine claims and other statements.
Rise and shine, everybody. How's it going out there? This is Amy, and I am here in the studio, and it's time for Amy's Kids Show. And I am so happy to be here again. Always, I am so happy to be here with you, talking about all this really fun stuff and playing all this amazing music. There is just an abundance of amazing stories and music and creatures who want to come on the show here. Boy, they're just lining up. Wow, it's amazing how many creatures I meet every week who say, "Let me come on the show, Amy, let me come on the show." And this week I have some very special guests to help us celebrate abundance. We have angels and birds. Angels and birds to celebrate abundance. Well, first of all, who remembers what abundance means? What does the word abundance mean? Well, it means there's more than enough, right? Like apples falling off the trees in the fall. There are abundant apples falling off the trees in the fall, here in Vermont anyway. And that's because there are more than we need. There's even more than we need, right? And birds... Uh-huh. Well, we've been celebrating birds for several weeks here on Amy's Kid Show, and eggs, which is one of the gifts that they share with us, and how well they take care of their eggs when they're going to hatch some little new baby chicks, right? And little baby birds. Birds are abundant with eggs. They're also abundant with care and love, and they can teach us a lot about taking care of things, right? And taking care of each other. And in fact, the kind of bird that I have on the show here today, they're actually pretty common all over the world. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they're pigeons. Has anybody ever seen some pigeons? Well, we are going to have some pigeons on the show today, and they are going to definitely teach us about abundance, because I have a story that not only involves pigeons and a story about their nest and their eggs that they are taking care of, but also a super special creature shows up, an angel, a special kind of angel called a seraph, S-E-R-A-P-H. That's how you spell seraph, S-E-R-A-P-H. A-P-H. Maybe you want to look that up. Seraphs are amazingly special angels. And how do I know about the story? Well, my grandmother gave me the story when I was a little girl. And boy, did my grandmother understand abundance. Boy, she did. She just showered me with abundant amounts of love. And that's what I'm here to pass on to you. I'm playing it forward, paying it forward. I like playing it forward, actually. Let's have some fun, guys. Thanks for joining me.
Jenny, you've been having such a good time singing and dancing. Girl, I'm telling you, you just get right into the knack of the Jamaican beat. And I'm happy to see you happy. And I want you to have a good night rest tonight. So come, let us go home.
Good night, Coleman man.
Good night, Jenny. We'll see you again soon, huh?
Good night, Rasta man.
Goodbye, Jenny.
And see you later, Maddie.
Goodbye, Jenny. Great party.
Come on, Jenny. Come on, Tingle. Everything is finished now. Let's go home. Thank you, John. Give thanks to everyone.
I'm a little sleepy. It's been a wonderful day, and I love everybody I've met. It's so great that people here take the time for music. Some have so little, but what they have, they share, especially their music. I came to Jamaica to sing, and I've learned so much more than just the songs. Well, bye for now. Thanks for coming with me. And remember, keep on singing.
Now, this is a sort of a fun game, and can get a chance to run a bit, but we'll choose eight children. Now, it goes like this. Eight clay pigeons, all right? Eight clay pigeons. Eight clay pigeons are sitting on a wall. All right, and then I'll say, oh my, look at one has flown away. All right, would you get up there and run all the way towards the door? That's right, fine. And you can just stay there. Now, how many pigeons do we have? How many do we have left? No, how many?
Seven,
that's right. All right. Seven clay pigeons, seven clay pigeons, seven clay pigeons are sitting on a wall. Oh my, there goes another one flying away. There she goes, my. Now, how many do we have left?
Six
is correct. All right. Six clay pigeons. Six clay pigeons. Six clay pigeons are sitting on a wall. Now another one has flown away. Here, there goes another one. Now how many do we have left?
Five.
Five clay pigeons. Five clay pigeons.
Five clay pigeons are sitting on a wall.
Another one. Oh, there he goes. Now, how many pigeons do we have left?
Four.
All right. Four clay pigeons. Four clay pigeons. Four clay pigeons are sitting on a wall. Another one is getting ready to go. And there he's flown all the way to Venezuela. And now how many do we have left?
Three.
Three clay pigeons. Three clay. You sing with me now. Three clay pigeons are sitting on a wall, and another one's flying away. There he goes. Now how many do we have left?
Two,
that's correct. Two clay pigeons, two clay pigeons, two clay pigeons are sitting on a wall, and another one is flying away. Now we have how many left?
One,
so it's clay pigeon. All right, one clay pigeon,
one clay pigeon.
One clay pigeon is sitting on a wall. No, he's even left too. He's flown away. Now how many do we have?
None.
That's right. So it's no clay pigeons. No clay pigeons. No clay pigeons. No clay pigeons are sitting on the wall. But I think one is coming back. Well, they're all coming back. They're flying back. Well, this is wonderful. They've all come back, and you come back and sit down again with the rest of the children. And now we have them all back, and how many did we start out with?
Eight.
That's right. So we have again eight clay pigeons. Eight clay pigeons. Eight clay pigeons are sitting. We're so happy to have these pigeons back. We're going to clap out a happy rhythm. All right. Eight clay pigeons, eight clay pigeons, eight clay pigeons are sitting on the wall.
Every time I feel alone and slightly blue, steps when I begin to think it's what I'd like to start to do. And though it may not be the kind of thing that's quite your cup of tea, I recommend you pay attention to the little dance you're gonna see. I love pigeons, and I love how they walk. And I've created a really cool dance called Doing the Pigeon. Doing the Pigeon. And dancing a little smidgen of the kind of ballet sweeps me away. Doing the pigeon. And doing the pigeon. People may smile, but I don't mind. They'll never understand the kind of fun I find. Doing the pigeon. I love it. Doing the pigeon. It's me. Doing the every day. Oh boy, is that exciting? Now, I'll show you how to really do the dance good, okay? Oh, this is gonna be way out. Okay, feet, do your stuff. Dig this.
Smile, but I don't mind. They'll never understand the kind of fun I find. Doing the pigeon. Doing the pigeon. Doing the pigeon every day.
Tell you what. Right now, why don't we all be very still and close our eyes? Kids at home, you too. Everybody close your eyes.
Okay, I got my eyes closed.
Now, what can you see with your eyes closed?
You can't see anything with your eyes closed.
Oh, Oscar, sure you can.
With my eyes closed, I see blobs of yellow moving around in blackness.
If you close your eyes real tight, the yellow blobs turn all orange and then red.
I see some green lines.
And some bright stars that twinkle and fly.
I think I see a face.
I see a silver ocean.
Oh, I see a bird flying in the sunset.
How about you kids at home? What do you see? Here in the middle of imagination, right in the middle of my head, I close my eyes, and my room's not my room, and my bed isn't really my bed. I look inside and discover things that are sometimes strange and new, and the most remarkable thoughts, I think, have a way of being true. Here in the middle of imagination, right in the middle of my mind, I close my eyes and the night isn't dark, and the things that I lose I find. Time stands still and the sky is clear and the wind is warm and fair. Nicest place is the middle of imagination when I'm there. You can open your eyes now, kids.
Welcome back. I thought I'd get us in the mood for using our imagination, because that is what we're going to do right now. I have a very special story to read that involves our three special guests for today. or the three things we are celebrating, angels, birds, and abundance. And in the story, there is going to be a mythical creature. There's a seraph, which is a type of angel, and angels are mythical because mythical creatures are things that some people believe in, some people don't believe in, but there are definitely lots of stories about these mythical creatures, and we don't know for sure if they're real. They probably are not, because they don't really obey the laws of gravity in this planet and the natural laws that we animals have to deal with. But who knows, right? A lot of people believe in angels. And we're also celebrating abundance, because when people don't believe that the world is abundant, that there is enough for everybody, more than enough for everybody, then people sometimes get stingy. Does anybody know anybody who's stingy? That means they are not generous. They don't like to share, right? Their time, they don't like to share their things, they don't like to share anything. Their love, they're stingy. And sometimes they're very grumpy too, right? And maybe they're even envious. That's another word that's going to come up in the story. Envious means sort of like jealous, when we get angry that other people have things that we wish we had. And then also, when folks don't believe in abundance, they often blame other people for what happens to them, because they don't realize that what's happening to them is a result of being stingy and envious and not believing in abundance. And the story is going to teach us, well, actually, the birds in the story, our special pigeon guests here, are going to teach us about abundance. They're going to teach the characters in the story about abundance. Because we are abundant, especially when we're motivated by love. And we share our love freely with others. And then suddenly, we find out that we have abundant health and energy and love to share. It just keeps growing inside of us the more we give it away. That's one of the natural laws. That is definitely a true part of the story. And I just want to let you know before we start that there is a couple of sad parts, you know, hard parts in the story, because it is a realistic story in some ways, and life can be hard sometimes. But the story is reminding us that our love is abundant enough, that our love, if we just follow our hearts, we will be able to survive those tough bits in life and get to the other side of the tough parts of life. And then something amazing happens, something magical and bigger can happen to us on the other side of those hard parts of life. All right, so this story, my grandmother used to read to me, and this was actually her book that I'm reading from. It's called Bill and Coo. Those are the names of the pigeons, right? Bill and Coo, Coo, Coo. That's the sound that the pigeons make when they talk. And the story is by Mazo de la Roche. Not many springs ago, two beautiful pigeons met on the roof of a very old house. The roof was so sloping that it was hard for them to keep their foothold. They kept on slipping and sliding downward toward the moss-grown eaves. It was then that she noticed what beautiful feet he had. They were the color of the finest coral. She was so full of admiration for them that she exclaimed, "Coo!" He bowed politely and turned around in front of her just to show her his plumage that shone like polished metal in the sunlight. When she saw the changeful shades of his collar, she said again, "Coo!" Again, he bowed and turned around in front of her. But even while he turned, he noticed the lovely whiteness of her plumage, with just a few black feathers in wings and tail. Now, standing close together, he said, What is your name? Coo, she answered in her sweet voice. Oh, he said, I always thought Coo was a rather common name, but since it is yours, I like it. She bowed to him, and her golden eyes sparkled. And what is your name? She inquired. Bill, he answered, on a deep note. Oh, she said, I always thought Bill was rather common, but since it's your name, I like it. So, in the warm spring sunlight, they sat billing and cooing together. After a while, they decided to build a nest. They chose a place in the shelter of a gable, and he worked hard for several days carrying twigs to her, which she proudly arranged with her beak. A pair of robins building a nest nearby thought the pigeon's nest was very rough indeed as compared with their handsome nest, but the pigeons thought it was perfect. Then one day, Coo laid an egg in it. Then she laid another. Bill was so proud that he turned round and round, showing off in front of her and the eggs. But she was too busy keeping the eggs warm to admire him, and the eggs were too busy with what was going on inside their shells. The house was owned by an old couple named Dullard, who hated all birds, but especially pigeons. Dirty creatures, they called them, and if they could have reached the nest, they would have torn it down. They stared up at it in hate, and the man actually threw a stone at Bill when he saw him turning round to show off. But the stone hit the roof, bounced back, and struck Mr. Dullard in the forehead. He cried out with pain, and the pigeons peered down at him in wonder. The roof of this house leaked. The chimneys smoked. The windows rattled. When it rained, there was a flood of water in the cellar. The Dullards had a daughter, but she had left home because she had been so unhappy. Yet when she was born, her mother had named her Joy. Everything went wrong with the Dullards, but they never blamed themselves for their misfortunes. One lovely day, two fledglings were hatched in the nest. Coo felt the eggs stirring under her breast. She heard small sounds. Snuggled the eggs closer and closer. As for Bill, he said her dear name over and over from morning to night. He was so full of pride. But that night, a change came over the sky. A great purple cloud, heavy with rain, was blown in from the east. And before long, the rain fell in torrents. All night long, it rained and rained. The two pigeons spread their wings over the nestlings, but the rain was so heavy that, in spite of all their efforts, the young ones were washed out of the nest and fell to the cold ground far below. When the gray light of morning came, Bill saw the two little fledglings lying there, and he said with a moan, "See what has happened, Coo. Our two babies have drowned, drowned, drowned." But Coo would not look. She could not believe in such terrible misfortune. She snuggled the few wet twigs that were all that was left of the nest and moaned, "No, no, no, I won't believe it. My birdlings are not down there. They are safe under my wing." But Bill knew better. He peered down and saw Mr. Dullard pick up the cold little bodies and carry them off to show his wife. "Two pigeons fewer to annoy us," he gloated. "I wish they were all drowned." The robins, too, had hatched their young, but so well built was their nest, and so sheltered, that it withstood the storm. Their nestlings were safe. Bill and Coo were envious as they saw the robins flying to and fro, carrying fat worms to their nestlings. They were envious when they saw the parent robins teaching the young ones to fly. Still, Coo would not believe that their nestlings were dead. "They are still under my wing," she would say, and Bill almost believed her. The end of summer came. The leaves blew from the trees, and the robins and their brood flew south. "Let us fly away also," said Bill. "Let us find some warm, sunny place and build a new nest." But Coo clung to the old nest. "Go if you will," she mourned, "but I must stay here with my nestlings." "But your nestlings are dead," Bill said. "They are gone." "They will come back," she said, and settled herself on the nest. Bill saw the other pigeons flying happily about, and he longed to join them. But he would not desert Coo, and Coo would not desert the nest. When the cold weather came, the pair would fly together each morning in search of food. It was hard to find enough to keep them alive, but somehow they managed. A certain poor old lady never failed to put out scraps of bread for the birds. But the rich never even gave a thought to them. When Bill and Coo had eaten, they would fly together high above the snowy ground, looking very beautiful, and then return to the nest and sit there close together, trying to keep warm. Sometimes they would turn their heads and gaze fondly into each other's eyes, or press their beaks together. And so the long winter passed. Sometimes up there under the gable, the winter seemed too long and cold for bearing. Yet Bill and Coo bore it without complaint, except to make little moaning sounds. Once there was such a heavy fall of snow that it drifted right in over the nest and over the faithful birds sitting on it. It covered them like a white blanket, so that only their two heads were to be seen, and their two pairs of bright eyes. "What do you think will happen to us?" Bill asked Coo. "Something very wonderful," she said. "I can feel it coming." And she snuggled under the snow. Something wonderful did happen. This was the coming of spring. Firstly, the snow turned to rain. All the land was rain-soaked deep down where the roots of the big trees were. The roof of the house leaked and the cellar was flooded. When the rain ceased, the sun came out in full strength and a gale of wind roared and shouted across the land. The trees felt life stirring within them and waved their branches in joy. The shutters of the house rattled so loudly that the couple who lived there found it hard to sleep. And when they did fall asleep, they had bad dreams. "If only one could get rid of those pigeons," groaned Mr. Dullard. "I'll get rid of them if it's the last thing I do." About this time, the robins returned from the south. Looking at them, you never would have guessed that they had flown thousands of weary miles. They were smooth and trim and pleased with everything. They tidied up their last year's nest and at once moved in. The hen robin, whose name was Cherry, soon laid a pretty blue egg. After admiring it, the cock robin flew to the gable and, with head on one side, took a long look at the pigeons. Still here? He exclaimed with a giggle. The pigeons bowed a polite assent. And nothing doing? He chuckled. Again, they bowed. You ought to give up, give up, give up. He repeated those notes over and over. Give up, give up, give up. Then he flew back to his mate. Oh, Cherry, he trilled. What do you suppose? Those silly pigeons are still sitting on their ramshackle nest and have hatched nothing. Think of our last year's family, grown up, building nests on their own this very spring. There were our two eldest, Primus and Secundus, and the third, Tertius. Do you remember what has become of Tertius? Oh, I forget, she said sleepily. I've just laid another egg. Come and see, Bob. He hopped over to look. Pretty, very pretty. He sprang onto a branch of an apple tree, just coming into bloom, and swayed there. Oh, I could die of laughing, he trilled, when I think of those pigeons. When Bill and Coo heard his gay laughter, they made little moaning sounds. Old Mr. Dullard came out of his house. Go away, birds, he wheezed, for he had a terrible cold. Go away! And he loudly clapped his hands at them. But the pigeons only bowed and cooed, and the cock-robin only laughed and sang. A morning came when there was a great excitement in the pigeon's nest. Coo had laid an egg. It was so long since Bill had seen an egg that he could scarcely believe his eyes. And what an egg! It was beautiful as a jewel. It shone as softly as a pearl. Its shape was as perfect as the shape of a white rosebud at dawn. Bill and Coo perched beside the nest, gazing down at the egg in wonder and delight. Oh, lovely egg, said Coo. Oh, calmly egg, said Bill. All the long day they admired the egg and at night dreamed of it. The robins hatched their brood, and though Bob had done little of the sitting, he was very good at bringing fat worms for the young. One after another, he stuffed their wide-open mouths with worms. Often, he would perch on a bough of the apple tree and shout with laughter at the thought of the pigeon's only egg. A day came when Coo felt the egg rocking beneath her. Something wonderful was indeed taking place. There was no sound of chipping on the eggshell, just a steady rocking, as of something struggling to get out. It was a starry night. The air was very sweet. Yet Coo could not rest because of the rocking of the egg. All day long, all night long, there was that struggle inside the egg. At the first crack of dawn, Coo raised herself a little in the nest to discover what was beneath her. All was quiet there. Broken pieces of eggshell lay about. The nestling that lay revealed was like no nestling Coo had ever seen. She was a little afraid, but very proud. She nudged Bill to wake and to see what she was seeing. A shaft of ruddy sunlight pierced the gray dawn and fell on the gable and on the nest. Bill took a long look at what had come out of the egg. Then he shook his plumage and preened himself in pride. He turned round and round in front of Coo, his beautiful collar shining in the sunrise. "Oh, wondrous egg," he said. "Oh, comely egg." Coo arched her neck and pouted her breast. "Oh, lovely egg," she said. "Oh, mystic egg." "Oh, wondrous egg." "Oh, lovely egg." "Oh, comely egg." "Oh, mystic egg." "Oh, Bill." "Oh, Coo." So they went on and on without tiring. The poor old dullards could not get any sleep. They lay on their bed, wheezing and coughing and groaning and yawning, but there was no sleep for them. The robins also were awake early, for they had a hungry family to feed. They were very curious to know what was going on in the pigeon's nest, for they knew something had happened. "Do hop over there, Bob," said Cherry, "and try to find out if their silly old egg has hatched. Really, I should think they would be ashamed. Here we are with our brood, almost ready to fly, and they have not a single fledgling to show." Therefore, as soon as the little robins had been fed and were settled down for their morning nap, Bob hopped over to the pigeon's nest under the gable and took a good look at what lay inside. It happened at that moment that Bill and Coo were absent from the nest. They had gone in search of food for the little newcomer and were somewhat puzzled to know what to offer him. If they had been at home, they would not have allowed the cock robin to look in the nest. But now, without hindrance, he called and, cocking his head, examined the nestling. He flew back to his own nest where sat his wife on her brood. "Oh, Cherry," he said, "they've certainly got something there. Go and see." "You must babysit while I go," she said, full of curiosity. Off she flew. He did not babysit, but perching in the old apple tree, saying, "They've got something there, something there, something there, something there, something there." Cherry said nothing when she returned till the four young robins opened wide their mouths and screamed for food. And then she said, in a new, sharp voice, "Behave yourselves, you ugly little creatures, or I will throw you out of the nest." Trembling with fear, they shut their enormous mouths and huddled together. "Well," asked Bob, "do you agree that they've got something there?" "Ask them," she said, "how they did it." He flew straight to the pigeons and demanded, "How did you do it?"
"We sat," they answered politely.
"How long did you sit?"
"For a year."
"All the winter?"
"Yes, all the winter."
"Through the cold?"
"Yes, through the bitter cold."
"In the rain?"
"In the rain."
"In the blizzard?"
"In the blizzard."
"In snow to your necks?"
"In snow to our necks." The cock robin swayed among the apple blossoms, singing.
"They sat in the rain, in the gale, in the snow. But they've got something there."
He was so thrilled that he rose before dawn and sang over and over. The pigeons repeated the wonder of it. "We sat in the rain, in the gale, in the ice, in the snow. We kept the egg warm for a year, for a year. Oh, Bill, oh, Coo, what could we do but keep the egg warm for a year? Oh, Bill, oh, Coo, this did we do." The dullards never had enough sleep. Even a nap in the afternoon was impossible, for all the day long the pigeons told of the wonder of the egg.
"I won't stand it," said Mr. Dullard. "I'll find someone who will tear that nest down."
"Oh, how thankful I shall be," said Mrs. Dullard. So he found a man who agreed to destroy the nest. He stood at the bottom of the ladder while the man climbed it. This bright little man, who was rather like a monkey, scrambled up the ladder. His hair lay shiny and flat on his head. After a moment, he scrambled down again. But now, his hair stood upright on his head.
"What's the matter?" asked Mr. Dullard.
"Say, mister," said the little man, "I wouldn't interfere with them pigeons, not on a bet."
"Afraid of a pair of pigeons?" scoffed Mr. Dullard. "I've never heard of such a thing. All you need to do is say shoo to them."
"I wouldn't say shoo to them pigeons, not on a bet. They just stood there guarding it and never budged when they saw me."
"What are they guarding? A young pigeon? Come, man, speak up."
"Mister, you go up the ladder and have a look."
"I don't like climbing ladders. I have rheumatics."
"There ain't money enough in this country," said the man, "to tempt me to destroy that nest. If you want it destroyed, you'd better do it yourself."
At those words, Mr. Dullard went to the bottom of the ladder and began stiffly to ascend it. At the top, he halted, as though turned to stone.
"Well," called up the little man, "can you make out what it is?"
"I can."
Mr. Dullard now descended the ladder. When he stepped off the bottom rung, he said, in a trembling voice, "It's a seraph."
"Is that what you call it?" said the little man. "I've never laid eyes on one before. I didn't know they'd live in this world." "A seraph, you say?"
"That's what it is."
"What are you going to do about it?"
"What can I do? Nothing but wait and see."
The cock-robin had overheard. Now he flew to the apple tree and shouted, "Wait and see! Wait and see! It's a seraph! Just wait and see!"
The man went off grumbling. Mr. Dullard went indoors to find his wife.
"I'll believe it when I see it," said she.
"How like a woman," chuckled the robin. "I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it." He swayed in the apple tree till the blossoms began to fall.
Mr. Dullard said to his wife, "It'd make a dog laugh to see you climb a ladder." She did not reply. She climbed to the top and came down again.
"Did you see it?"
he asked.
"Yes, poor little darling."
"Poor little darling?" Mr. Dullard could scarcely believe his ears. It was so long since he had heard his wife speak tenderly. And she had the sweetest smile on her face. She was like a different woman. She went straight to the kitchen and began to mix bread and honey and fresh milk in her best china bowl.
"The poor little darling is hungry," she said, "and those silly pigeons have no idea what to feed him."
"But our best china bowl?" he objected.
"Nothing is too good for him," she said. She carried the bowl up the ladder and set it near the nest.
Bill and Coo eyed it with suspicion.
"Oh, Bill, oh, Coo, what shall we do?"
They said this over and over.
"Oh, Bill, oh, Coo, what shall we do?"
The cock-robin shouted, "Feed it or it will die. I know the signs. Hurry up." Bill and Coo took turns in feeding the nestling, which took the food with relish. It thrived. It was bright-eyed and lively. 3 times a day, Mrs. Dullard made delicate food for it. Nothing was too good or too much trouble. The Dullards spent their days preparing food for the seraph or guarding it at the bottom of the ladder. They smiled at each other in new secret happiness. heavy rain came, but it did not harm the nest or the seraph. Neither did the roof leak, nor did the water enter the cellar. A gale blew, but the chimney did not smoke. Neither did the shutters rattle. Everything was different since the seraph had come. The robin's family learned to fly. The young ones were now almost as large as their parents. The cock robin peered at the pigeon's nest. "You'd better let me take this nestling if you're south with me and my family," he warbled. "Never," said Bill. "Never," said Coo. "He'll not survive your northern winter."
"He survived last spring," said Coo, "and it was cold in the spring, just as cold as winter."
"Colder than winter," said Bill.
"But he has no proper plumage," said the robin. "We shall keep him warm under our wings," said Coo.
"Our wings are lined with down," said Bill.
"We will not let him go.
Oh, no, we will not let him go." The dullard's daughter now came on one of her rare visits to her family. Scarcely could she recognize her parents. Always were they smiling with a new secret happiness. On the very night of her arrival, her mother told her about the seraph. The daughter, whose name was Joy, did not believe her. She thought her poor mother was out of her mind, and her poor father, too. "I shall just have to stay at home and nurse them," she thought. "And now," said her mother, "I must make haste and get the seraph's supper ready." She brought out the best blue china bowl. Surely this poor old mother was out of her mind. Joy said, "That is our best china bowl, mother."
"It is the seraph's favorite," said Mrs. Dullard.
What was Joy to do with a poor old mother like that? Mr. Dullard had the ladder in position. "Mother," cried Joy, "you're surely not going to try to climb up that ladder." Mrs. Dullard fairly flew up the ladder, carrying the bowl of arrowroot and cream. When she came down, Mr. Dullard asked anxiously, "How is he?"
"He's fine," she answered, "prettier every day," and she smiled happily.
Mr. Dullard turned to his daughter. "Your turn now, my dear," he said, and helped her to mount the ladder. Up she went and came down smiling.
"A nice girl," said Coo.
"A very nice girl," said Bill. From 4 o'clock the next morning till bedtime, they said she was a nice girl. "That seraph of yours," said the robin, "gets livelier every day. He'll soon be leaving the nest." It was true. He sat on the edge of the nest, his lovely eyes bright with interest in all he saw. The white clouds that moved across the blue depths of the sky, the golden leaves that fluttered down to the grass, the family of robins preparing for the flight to the south. Bill and Coo saw none of this. They saw only the seraph. They were scarcely surprised when he burst into song. They were scarcely surprised when he flew straight up out of the nest, singing, up and up and up he went. Into that azure blueness, the shrill ecstasy of his song came down to them until he was no more than a speck in the vastness of the sky. Even after he had disappeared, his song came down to them. The end.
We may not be able to fly like the birds can fly, but boy, we can share our abundant love the way they do, right? And then it's amazing. It's a natural law that when we share our abundant love, we just get more back. That's the law of abundance. The more we share and the more we see abundance around us and share our abundance with others, the more we get back. It's just a beautiful thing. And so I hope you really enjoyed the story today, celebrating angels and pigeons and abundance. Those three things all come together. Everybody comes together on Amy's Kids Show. That's what it's all about. Everyone coming together and sharing their story. And this story was called Bill and Coo by Mazo de la Roche, if you want to look it up yourself. So thank you for joining me for Amy's Kids Show. And I'll be back next week. I don't know who's going to come visit next week. I haven't even met them yet. But I can't wait to find out. And I hope you have a wonderful week. I know you're going to have fun. I know you're the greatest. And I know that you have abundance of love in your heart. So look around today and see what you see abundance of around you. And see where you can find abundant love. I saw a lot of birds on the way here today, and I know that they are abundant out there, and they're learning to fly. I hope you can, too. Thanks, guys. See you next time.